When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the wonderful Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com. How are you? I want to start this podcast this week by saying thank you. It's weird lately, I've had quite a few people getting in touch with me to tell me how much they enjoy the podcast, and because obviously people listen, but then you won't necessarily tell me that you listen, because why would you? That's complete. I don't tell people when I listen to their podcasts unless I know them and I need to. But I don't really have an idea of how many people listen or who listens, so I just kind of do it because I like doing it. But I've just had some really lovely feedback recently, and I just wanted to say thank you, because it does mean a lot. Because as much as I love doing the podcast, it is also nice to know that people are enjoying it as well and it's not just me having a nice chat. So thank you for your continued support. I hope you're good, I hope you're surviving and things aren't too bad. It's all a bit weird, isn't it, at the moment. But yes, I'm good. This week, I've got some really good chats coming up, actually, so I'm excited about that. But this week, it's the second part of my chat with the lovely Funk Case. If you haven't listened to the first part yet, then I would recommend it, because it's a continuation of the conversation. But yeah, he's a lovely bloke, and this part gets a bit more into kind of some techie stuff, which blew my mind. And also his gaming stuff, and yeah, it's good. It's a nice chat. I hope you enjoy it. And I don't think I've got anything else exciting to tell you, so I'll just let you get on listening to this, and I'll see you in a bit.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Work. Work.
How often do you spend on tour then? on average?
Before Corona, I was out every week or two. It's probably bi-weekly the most, because America is my market. And I would do European stuff in between. As you would know, as a maximum boost employee. As you would know, I used to play Europe stuff. So it would be, the occasional Europe stuff, and everything would be America. And that was bi-weekly usually, and sometimes weekly. So now I'm back on the grind. Not quite as much as that. I'm at least once a month now.
Okay.
But I have a whole big stint of shows coming up. So, we're
where do you play in America?
Literally everywhere. Literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
Literally. There's probably about 5 or 6 states I haven't played in. So and there's like 52 states or something. So,
I
played in the most crazy places. So,
Where's the most crazy?
Depends what you mean by crazy. Crowd, size, club, getting
size.
Shot. Size?
Have you been shot?
No, I've never been shot. No, of course not. No, the craziest size was EDC Vegas. That's 250,000 people, I think. Well, 350,000 people that play that. And the stage I was on went up to like 50,000 or something. It's not Glastonbury by any means, but
yeah,
it's a lot of, it's a sea of, it's just bobbling heads.
Have you played Glastonbury?
I have played Glastonbury. Me and Crafty played Glastonbury when we did a circus takeover in the corner. I don't know what it's called, but there's a little corner where there's like, I think it's Aztec or something. There's an Aztec corner. We played there, and it was like a very small tent, but it was wicked. Cookie hated it because it was muddy. But yeah, it was like, and like, we couldn't find it. Glastonbury, I have a bone to pick with Glastonbury. I need to moan. Mama podcast, sponsored by Moaning. I need to moan, right? Because we were booked, right? We were booked for this event. We had artist parking, which is away from everything, basically.
Yeah.
They didn't give us any transportation. They didn't pick us up. They didn't even tell us where to go. So we park. We just had to just walk into Glastonbury in a direction. So in the time it took for me and Cookie, literally, right, from him opening the doors and us getting out, it took us an hour and a half to get to our stage at Glastonbury because they didn't tell us where it was. We went to every security guard along the way. Do you know where this place is? They went, no idea. Are there any maps? No. So we couldn't find it. Eventually, we found someone who knew where it was, and they took us to the place. It took an hour and a half to walk through Glastonbury to get to our stage. You guys need to fix up your fucking... I know you book a lot of people, but just give us some direction or something. And then we couldn't find the car for 2 hours afterwards because we didn't know where the car park was. So, it was a miserable situation. It's like, seriously.
Yeah, I've done Glastonbury once, and it was when I just got pregnant with my eldest.
Oh, yeah.
I was there because I had a DJ there, Roscoe.
I know Roscoe. I did a track with Roscoe on his album. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did a track. We did a track called Spanner in the Works because I did loads of dubstep noises in one of his 4/4 tracks. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I've been on Roscoe. I know Roscoe. Yeah, I know Roscoe, of course.
Well, he was playing in the Pineapple.
Yeah.
Which was the best thing.
Yeah.
So, and then my ex actually ended up playing a gig there as well. So, and it took. I think it took an hour for us to walk. Because I think where we were actually staying was right next to the dance bit where Roscoe was playing.
Yeah.
But he was playing right over the other side. And it took an hour to walk from where we were staying to where my ex was playing.
Yeah.
And I just could not get over the size of this place.
Well, it was the size of Bolton or something, isn't it, I heard?
Is it?
Yeah, I think Glastonbury is literally the size of Bolton.
Massive.
Yeah, it's literally
amazing.
A town. It's a town. It's literally a town in a festival.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what people think. They think Glastonbury it's a festival spot. It's literally a town sized festival. It's not a town with a festival in it. It's literally a town sized festival.
Like, obviously it's amazing and they have loads of amazing people playing, but I'm like, realistically, like, you have to pick who you really want to see and then just go there and stay there.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Because
you're not
getting about.
Got the main stage, which is kind of in the epicenter of everything. So like where Coldplay and Beyonce were playing when we played that year as well. Like, you can go and watch that
Beyonce?
Stage. No, we saw Coldplay. So we saw Coldplay. There's like from the artist section, you walk in and you go to a certain bit where everyone is, and then you go down this big hill down around the back of the event. But that faces on top of a big hill walking down. That faces the main stage. So I watched them do Fix You. And they had these bracelets they held up in the air and they all lit up. So they say, raise your hands. And then everyone wore their bracelets and it was like all these golden bracelets like lighting up and stuff. It was pretty sick, but. Yeah, that's the epicenter. So that's like the main bit. So they make it easy for everyone to go and see Beyonce. But when it goes to go see Funcase and Crafty, Cookie Monster, Dr. P, Flux of Ian, go to the corner. It's an hour and a half of trekking through mud and no one knows where it is. So,
well, it's the year I went, Stevie Wonder was playing, and that was just like, oh my god! But I had to leave because it was Magnetic Man's first ever show. when they had the big box.
Yeah,
with all
I remember.
The lights.
Yeah, I remember.
So I was like, so I had to leave because I was. Well, I don't know. No, I wasn't their agent then, but I was friends with them. So I was like, well, I can't not go to the show. But
Dubstep's
like,
first. Dubstep's first commercial artist. I can get you, man.
Yeah.
First proper commercial. We'd had tracks in the commercial market, but that was Dubstep's first commercial.
It was
group.
Banger and was it Banger and Scream's?
Banger Scream and Artwork. Banger Scream and Artwork were my
yeah. Name, but with the Banger and Scream check, or was it just a Banger track?
Yeah, that's Banger and Cokie Night. That's 2007 that or something, or 2008 or 2006.
But was that the first one that? Because I remember seeing that on the telly, and I was like, "Oh my god, they're on the telly!" Was that the first?
There was loads of dubstep. There was loads and loads of dubstep that was in the mainstream market. But the first mainstream act, was Magnetic Man.
Yeah, they charted, didn't they?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, Flux Pavilion had a bunch of music videos and that sort of stuff, and he was probably one of the biggest risers. And there was Nero as well, did Promises and all that sort of stuff. And there was loads of stuff. But the first commercial artist that was pretty much made to be commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was Magnetic Man, and then it was Modestep probably after that, and then just a bunch of names. So, yeah. So Bang and Scream, but Bang and Scream had their own show on Radio 1, so they were kind of pretty much the forefront of dubstep at that point. So they were doing Magnetic Man and doing Radio 1, playing anyone's music. It didn't matter who it was.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys.
Oh, and they're doing Banger's back, isn't he? Because he went off for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, no idea. Well, he had a mental health
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, he did.
He did a whole thing on it. UKF. Ollie's just Scream's just doing house. He's just killing the house scene right now. He's just doing the occasional dubstep old school set. So
yeah. I remember when, because I used to do Forward.
Yeah.
And Banger came, and they'd just been to Shambhala. Is it Shambhala in Canada?
Shambhala's Canada, yeah.
And he was like, I had the best time, he said, but I met this girl and I fell in love with her and I give her my necklace and this necklace was worth 10 grand.
Well, Ollie
and
said that.
He was like, Banger said that.
Oh, Banger's, oh my God, dude.
And I was like, I've known you for so fucking long. Love me.
Yeah.
So he was like, I just really liked her and I'll just give her my necklace. But he wasn't pissed off about it, but he was just a bit like, oh, you know.
What have I done? Silly me.
I was just like, fucking hell.
Yeah, 10
but
grand.
But they were kids. Yeah. I mean, Scream was 16 when he started coming forward. I mean, maybe they were 19 then, you know?
Yeah.
With that much money.
I think Scream's roughly my age. So, yeah, I probably thought so. How old was he when he did the Scream
album? No, he's not, is he?
Is he my age or is he slightly older?
No, he's not. Well, he was... Well, I was...
In 2009, when I started doing Funkcase, I was 23. I wasn't young when I started. I was into nearly my mid-20s at that point. I'm nearly 36. Scream's been doing it for a long time, but he was young.
Yeah, he has.
So he's got to be.
I think he's got to have been 16 in 2002, I reckon, because that's when I met him, and he was 16 when I met him.
So he's probably about 5 years older than me, 5, 6.
So if he's 16, well, that's 20 years. It's 20 years ago, isn't it? So he is 36. Oh my god, that makes me feel so old.
You're fine.
Oh my god, no, I am. I'm fine.
Are you aching right now? Are you aching?
No, I'm not. I'm all right, actually.
There you go. You're fine then. It's when stuff like aches on random occasions. That's when the age comes in.
Age is a state of mind. And I was talking to someone today and we were talking about how different DJs are so much better now because everything's on a USB stick, isn't it? Back in the day, you were carrying two record boxes.
Record boxes. I've been pretty much to every stage of life in DJing hype. I used to do drum and bass sets with vinyl. That was miserable. And then I came to CDJ, which was great. That was... A big culture shock, though, to go from vinyl to CDJ. It was like, well, how is this? What? Who's doing this? And then I found out once that Casper used a USB in a set, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. You know, it's just the movement was like, you just couldn't accept the new stuff going on. So, but USBs are a godsend. I don't know what I'd do without it, to be honest. Like, imagine a skipping.
How many backups do you have?
I have 7 USBs. And I don't link. So if anyone knows they're DJing, you can link CDJs. So you can put one USB in and it will put the data on all of them. But if that one USB fails, they all go. So I have 7. So I've had the worst situation happen to me during a New Year's event. So after that, I bought 7. So I don't link and I use like 2 at a time, basically. So if they die, I've got backups galore to just slam them in. So, and obviously, because technology is so fast right now, it doesn't matter. You can just do USB transferring in insanely fast time. So I can be 10 minutes before a set, like export my USB and I've got 300 songs on it, you know? So
it's crazy.
It's going to get even crazier, sure, in some way.
Yeah. I got an iPod. When they first came out, I was seeing a guy and he worked at Apple and he got me an iPod. And I spent days, because I've got a massive CD collection, putting all my CDs into iTunes to, you know. And then I got, that was on a PC, and I got a new computer. But I kept my old PC computer because I was like, well, it's got my iTunes library on it. I've still fucking got the thing, right? This was long ago.
You've got some bangers on there, I'm sure.
And, but my mate, and I was talking to my friend, and he's like, but the technology has changed so much. Like, how you imported those CDs, it's shit. Like, it's completely worthless. It's completely worthless now.
Pretty crap, yeah.
And I was like, I haven't kept it for all this time because I wanted to get rid of it, but I don't really know how to get rid of it because it's got stuff on there, maybe, I don't know. So I've just, it's under the
iPod.
Shelf, do you know what I mean? It's like the computer, my actual old PC.
Oh, the whole PC.
Yeah, I've still got the iPod as well. But
you can get rid of the PC and just keep the hard drive. Because you can put a hard drive in any other PC.
I've only got Macs. I don't have PCs.
Oh, do you?
I don't know how to do
Well, you can do transfer. Transferring is easy. You could literally just put that whole laptop on a hard drive now. Hard drives are so cheap for how big they are. But you can just do that and then discard it or sell it. I don't know. Depends how powerful it is, I guess.
It's 20 years old.
Oh, 20 years. What is it? Is it a laptop or is it PC? Or
no, it's just a PC. It's like the base and you plug a screen into it.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know what make it is. I don't even know where I got it now. It's just so long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I just know that it's got days worth of my putting fucking... And how long the CD importing used to take as well.
Yeah,
like
it used to take friggin' ages. Yeah, everything's instant.
Oh my God.
Good times though, good times. I remember I used to burn CDs. I remember people used to sell me burn CDs at school. £2, you could have a full album, £2. Like, where am I going to get £2 from? I'm 14. Sure, I'll find a way. You know, stuff like that. So, yeah. It's evolved ginormously. And what's also crazy is that Rekordbox has a feature where it can read your mobile phone that's in your pocket. So if you have the Wi-Fi turned on and you link it to the USB, link it to the CDJ, if you turn the CDJ's wireless network on, you can literally, if you have the tracks on your phone, you could just walk up to a CDJ and it would just list what's in your phone. I think that might be the future. I don't think anyone either knows or uses it. But there is a feature where you can use Rekordbox from your phone and it wirelessly links to your... So I think there might be a thing eventually where you'll just have a box in your pocket. If Pioneer, listen to me. Hello, Pioneer. Hello, from Pioneer. Jeff, Rob, Steve. Right? Create a box. Make it wireless technology. Make it link, or Bluetooth. Make it linked to CDJs. Have the DJ just have that in their pocket. Walk up to the thing. You'll make millions from these boxes. I'm not joking. If I didn't have to physically plug something in and it... And by the way, wireless technology, Bluetooth 5.0, Wi-Fi, I don't even know what level Wi-Fi we're at, but it's crazy. We get to the point now where it's not only is it reliable, it's fast as hell. So create a box we can put our music on, like an MP3 player or something, and have that just, I could just walk up to a desk, you know, a set of decks, and it would just load my playlist in. It's kind of like when you walk up to a car, you know those cars where Teslas, you can just walk up to a Tesla and it'll just open the door for you. Same thing, just a CDJ. You make millions. I want 1% if this happens, by the way.
Yeah. Can't you invent that?
If I had the infrastructure, maybe, but I don't, you know. If I had the money infrastructure. But no, that's Pioneer's job. They can go and do that. Just give me credit if it happens. You know?
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah.
But that's a thing. I mean, wireless technology, my mouse is wireless. I can use my mouse wireless. I can charge it wirelessly. You know, I don't even have to plug this in. And it just works. Yeah. Wireless technology is so crazy. We have wireless charging in rooms now. Have you seen this? Like, we have, I don't know if you're, I'm super into tech. I'm a nerdy bastard. I can't lie. I'm a nerdy bastard. That right there, that black pole you see on the camera, you won't hear this.
Yeah.
You'll hear this and think, what's he talking about? I have a pole in the back of my room because we're on camera. This has a base station on top of it, which fires lasers around my room.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a VR headset, which tracks it wirelessly. You know, and it's like, this is... Everything's wireless, and you can even now, like Apple are developing this, but you can charge stuff I could walk into a room which has a wireless charging transmitter and it will charge my phone. Like you could be meters from it. It could just be charging right now, like
how?
We have this technology already
exist.
It's just firing some kind of you don't notice it, you don't feel it. It's like 3G, 4G, you know, that sort of stuff. It would just charge your phone.
I'm not very good on this stuff, but to charge my phone, I have to plug it in
Yeah, but you can do it wirelessly as well.
Plug.
Yeah, but you can do it wirelessly as well. You can. I don't know if you know. I don't know what phone you have, but you can do it.
I've got
the new
iPhone.
You can put it on a base plate that's plugged in. Obviously, this isn't plugged in, but this is a wireless charger. This
but
goes.
This
gets plugged
in. How does that charge the battery?
That charges the battery through not being connected. It's through proximity. So you've got two coils. You've got a coil on here and a coil inside your phone. When they line up, it charges your phone, so it just transmits power through. So imagine that, but being like this, where the phone is not away from it.
Yeah.
That already exists. That's been around for ages, but they're going to do it on a much larger scale where you don't have to, you can just walk into a room and it charges.
But how does it tell it that it's a charge?
It doesn't, it's nothing to do with telling. It's like, it's kind of like anything has to have a certain way of transmitting and a certain way of receiving. And obviously if they tell each other that they exist and they link up, it's kind of like anything, you know?
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, but that's by the way, that tech's been around for a long time. It literally has. But it's going in on a global scale, like now. Like the fact that you can just put this down on a table and it charges it, you know, for wireless charging, like you just QI charging, you just put
no
it down and charges.
No fucking leads.
Yeah, that's the point. Eventually in the future, that will be the thing. But obviously people are going to freak out, like the 5G thing. They're going to be like, oh my God, power's going through my brain. I'm going to have cancer, you know, that sort of stuff. So
it's going to have
to go through a hell of a lot of trials for people to accept it.
Yeah.
But when it is finally proven and it's safe, my phone will be charging right now. Your PC could just be sat on the floor with no lead coming out of it.
But
it'll be charging.
If that is the case, then your phone would never run out of battery, would it? While you're inside somewhere that's got one of those
charging things. And that's the point, yeah.
It'd only be when you go out.
You could step into a cafe and they'd have the tech there and your phone would just be charging. So your phone would always be charged. You know?
Wow.
That is, I mean, it's like, if you told someone in the 50s you could have Wi-Fi, they would have said you're absolutely off your head. It's like Wi-Fi, but for power.
But if you told someone 20 years ago that they'd be DJing off a USB, if you told someone 10 years ago they'd be DJing off
10 years ago,
USB,
yeah,
you'd be
exactly.
like, well, all right, mate.
Yeah, you'd be like, nah, there's no way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's easy tech. That's physical connection. That's metal to metal. That's inside of a USB is obviously metal connection, touch and metal, and then it reads. This is wireless. The fact that I can, right now, my PC's plugged into an Ethernet cable, but I could Zoom you wirelessly, obviously on my phone because it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That alone is insanely mind-blowing. The fact that I can just collect data. There's data in my room right now. Oh my God, am I getting cancer? What's going? You know, that's the same process people are going to go through when this wireless charging comes through. So yeah, and this has gone. This has taken this podcast to a whole new level.
It just makes my brain hurt because I just don't. I don't understand how it works.
Yeah. I'm a pretty big geek, so I don't understand
it's
on
amazing.
I don't understand it on a rocket science level, but I understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the equations for it or how it works or what to use, but yeah, I understand it.
That'd be an exciting job, wouldn't it?
We're about to go to Mars, mate. We're about to go to Mars. Elon Musk is taking us to Mars to live there. If you had told people in the 1900s we're going to fly to Mars, you know, like mind blowing stuff. There's such crazy stuff going on right now. So it's just the evolution of technology. So and it blew your mind that you can just receive music wirelessly from a box to the CDJs. That's the least mind blowing thing out of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. Oh well, thank you for opening my mind.
There's so much to learn, Padawan, young Padawan. Exactly. You have a lot to learn. There's so much going on.
I do have a lot to learn.
I don't know. It's just a lot. I can't believe exists. I can't believe this mic records my voice through a weird magnety thing which sends it down a lead into the internet, which then sends it down a massive copper lead or a light beam in an optical cable all the way to you in London. I don't know where you are, but the way to you in London, and it's instant. Like this is, you know, it's just this is like 1960s technology, and we're still like, whoa, like just, I don't know, give it 20 years, what's going to happen, you know? So yeah.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah, exactly.
I just get all like overwhelmed. But
yeah,
it's good. It's good things. It's like, it's fucking amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, we need it. We need it. We need to make things easier for our lives so we can be more productive. But you know, there are dangers involved in that, so we don't know. Like when phones first existed. You remember when phones first existed? The old Motorola's with the aerial that came out of it. People used to literally campaign that it would give you brain cancer because you're putting microwaves to your head. No one talks about that now, by the way. You know, like,
my friend went for a scan because he kept getting headaches, and he thought it was because he was on his phone all the time, and he thought that he'd done himself damage.
I mean, yeah, but that's different, because if you're not looking at a screen and you're calling people and you get a headache, then that's tied to the phone itself. But if you're looking at a screen all day, it's because your eyes are trying to look at tiny pixels, and it's trying to focus at all times, going, and Jesus Christ, your eyes are going, bruh, bruh. Your pupils are doing this constantly because you're trying to concentrate. It's like, that's what gives you the headache. It's just when you look at screens all day. But yeah, it's just it's mental. So we've got a lot to look forward to. I can't lie. I'm always on the lookout on YouTube for new tech and space news. I'm a big space guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, dude. There's a lot of crazy stuff about to happen. Seriously.
Do you follow Marcus Bronzy?
No idea who that is.
Oh, he's a tech guy.
Yeah.
He's good. He does a podcast about tech stuff.
Marcus Bronzy.
Yeah, I've had him on this podcast with Funk Butcher. Do you know Funk Butcher?
Yeah, I know old Funk Butcher. Never met him.
Yeah. Him. They do a podcast together called How to Kill an Hour, but he talks a lot about tech stuff.
Funk Butcher's the old Cool FM guy, right? Was he on Cool FM?
He was on Rinse. I don't know if he was on Cool FM. He was on Rinse FM.
Shout out to the heads who know about Cool FM, by the way. Old school legendary stuff. Yeah. As many hours working in the office listening to Cool FM live. Yeah.
But yeah, he's working for PRS now.
Oh, Lord.
Amongst other things. Amongst saving the world on Twitter.
If you're listening, send me a bit more. Thanks.
Yeah. Everyone hates PRS.
Yeah. It's not great. But yeah. I mean, it is great, but it's not, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, it's been emotional. We should get a big boy Crafty on. Big soft pasta Crafty.
Yeah, I want him to, because I was really enjoying doing that podcast with him, but we still hasn't done anything, but he's just busy.
He's not busy enough. Where's my shows, Paul, you fucking arsehole? I've got 2 weeks off. What's going on?
We need to, it's just, you have to make time, that's the thing. Yeah, and it's just where it's not, this is obviously not a paid thing.
And especially as a parent. What do you mean? You told me 10 grand before this. What's going on? As a parent as well. I won't understand. I'm a cat parent, but you know, as a parent, there's time taken.
Yeah.
So you'll know that better than me or most people, to be honest. How many do you have?
I've got two.
You've got two kids, okay.
8 and 11, yeah.
8 and 11?
Yeah, because we were talking about Rocket Ball. is that what that is? Is that what it's called? Weren't you like in the top 10 fucking players
in
the
world? And you went straight into old woman mode when you said that. It's called Rocket League, Rocket Ball. What's that O-Pod you use for the music? What's that O-Pod you use? You know, that's what you just sounded like. Rocket League, yes. No, I'm not top 10. I was top 0.05% in that game. I was like top, I don't know, I think 5,000 players at one point. And there's like 55 million thousand. Thousand?
That's
55 million people
amazing.
That play that game, and I was top 5,000 at one point. At my peak, but I don't play it as much now. But yeah.
That is amazing.
It's ridiculous because I'm 35 and I have a job. But it's also kind of cool because I enjoy it. So yeah.
But that is wicked. But yeah, that's because she played that. And I was my friend plays that. She's like, what? But 8 and 11.
They can basically go and work in KFC now. You can go get rent off them.
No, they fucking can't. You can't get a job now until you're 18.
Is it not even 16?
I don't think so. I think you've got to be 18.
The moment I turned 16, my mum physically forced me rent, right? And even if I had a job or not, she said I had to pay in some way. So what she would do is she would make... For any of you out there who get spoon-fed by mummy and daddy, you're a fucking arsehole. When I turned 16, my mum went, you're paying rent. And I had a freak out. I went, ah! Because obviously from a fetus to 16, it was all free. She went, you're paying rent right now, because obviously she wanted to instill independence in me.
Yeah.
So instead, she said, you either get a job or you do things which I give you money for. So I had to clean a room. Every room I cleaned was £1, and she charged me a tenner a month in rent. So I had to clean 10 rooms every month to pay the rent. If I didn't pay the rent, she would go mental. So it kind of instilled that idea in me. Obviously, as a 16-year-old, to be like, right, you're paying rent, I'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah, that caused a bit of conflict, but... Yeah. I mean, they're not far off now. You can get some rent out of them. It's fine.
Well, dishes. Lola started doing housework, and I've given up so I can give her pocket money. So I just want her to start helping me around the house so I don't have to do everything.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
So, and I don't mind. That's fine. But
yeah, I mean, if you give them easy jobs, if you give them easy jobs and they get a couple of quid. I mean, dude, if you give me 5 quid at 15, I felt like I was a millionaire at that point. Yeah. So you give someone like a tenner for doing washing up for a week, like mind-blowing stuff. So
I think it's just good for them to know that that's what you do. You have to do stuff that you don't want to do.
Yeah, of course.
That's how you get money. And also that you have to start cleaning, because then it's not such a shock.
Life is pretty ridiculous. Speaking of that, my friend, and we're still carrying on with his podcast, it's still going on, but let's just talk about some stuff. My friend Mike was coddled by his mum. She cooked for him. She didn't make him clean, do nothing. He went to a university in Derby. He moved to Derby, like away from all his mates, everything like that, went to give him there. His first day he tried cooking, he burned baked beans. This is a man whose only level of cooking was of experience was to put microwave fries in the microwave and overcook them. So this man burned beans on day one. Day two, nearly set fire to the kitchen trying to cook eggs. Like, this is, and I'm like, how are you alive? You know, like, just how would you exist, like, in this sort of way? You're looking quite shocked right now as well, but it's just like, it's people live like that. Mental.
Yeah. But then I get, like, because I've turned vegetarian when I was, like, 14. So my mum was a bit like, you can cook your own dinner then. You know, what we're
having,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel it.
But it's like, and my kids cook.
Yeah.
They can't wait to cook.
It's a good thing.
Just to have that. I mean, it's brilliant, but I suppose if you don't have any interest, but surely showing your kids how to just do the basics is quite important.
I would have thought, but it depends on the kid, doesn't it? My granddad tried to force feed the idea of me being into sailing when I was younger, even to the point where he bought me a sailing boat. I was so obsessed with being a footballer, I didn't care. But now I'm thinking, buddy, I could have had a sailing boat if I'd just gone and learned how to sail. He even named it Jimmy Dick, because my name's James and my middle name's Richard. So, like, I would have had my own boat, you know, and I think now, like, okay, if I had just stopped being such an idiot 11-year-old, I could have had a boat and learned how to sail, and I could have been taking my mates around in a boat my granddad bought me, you know, like, but I went, football, yay! And I just, and it ended up being a music producer, so that went well, so yeah.
You can buy a boat.
I could, but I could then
you
not buy a house.
So have you bought a house now?
Yes. So on that note, we didn't touch on that, but I bought a house. So I did have to get some help, because my money was coming in, but I didn't have enough. And we bought a house. I bought my first house. And
congratulations.
Well, I'm not in it yet. This is not my house. It's mental. We've been waiting for solicitors to come back with query responses and stuff like that. It's taken. We put the offer in for the house in December.
Okay.
And it was accepted in December, and it's now April 7th. It's taking an age. And I first bought this house, I was like, there's no way this takes months. There's no, how, you just got queries, you got banks to say yes. Surely how has it taken that long? And it has taken this long because it's just the most dumbest reasons.
Yep.
We were told the house is no chain. Turns out the house is chain, and the bank took ages to do stuff. And then it turns out the solicitor can't get hold of the first solicitor to get queries, and they're not responding. Oh, and just, it's the worst annoying piece of crap. So get me into the house. I got the money. Like, I'm dwindling money right now in rent because I'm waiting to get out of this house. So it's just.
Is it near to where you are?
Yeah, it's in the same town. Yeah.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes from here, somewhere. But much nicer. It's just. Yeah, I just want to get in. And it's also my first house as well, so I'm about to be on the ladder.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's exciting.
Good stuff. When did you buy your first house?
No, I haven't.
Are you still renting?
I still haven't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mental.
Yep.
Yeah, this is...
it's London, isn't it? It's expensive everywhere, but London's fucking ridiculous. And I'm the only one working.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because the girls are too young to work yet, so, you know, it's
so,
just
Amy needs a sugar daddy, like, if you're listening. Needs a rich husband. And she's
that's what we've been talking about.
If you like tattooed ladies and blonde ladies, she's here.
I can't remember. Lola was asking for something. Oh, I can't remember. I don't know what she... Oh, no, that's... So, we live in quite a nice area. So, two of her friends are in Barbados at the moment because it's Easter holidays. And she's like, I want to go to Barbados. And I was like, darling, I want to go to Barbados, but I can't afford for us to go on holiday at the moment. She's like, right, we need to find you a sugar daddy. And I was like, do you know what, actually? I am starting to consider my options on that front because I don't mind older people.
We've become it. Know, we've become that now. You know, it's just, I'm young at heart, but my knees hurt.
So, yeah, that's the plan. I need a sugar daddy.
Yeah, sugar. If anyone likes any tattooed blonde ladies, Amy is here. Mama, Mama podcast. Please submit to mama at gmail.com. I don't know. That's not the email. But, you know. If you like it a lovely actually. Day, there you go. I was happy here. Oh, is it actually? Well, contact Paul Crafty at Maximum Booster.
And he could pimp me out, couldn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he could. He bloody would as well, wouldn't he?
He would.
He bloody would. All right, mate, you need a lovely woman. I've got a lovely woman over here for you. It's not what he sounds like, but you know. It's just a great impression of Paul that doesn't even exist, you know? Like.
Yeah. Oh.
He's probably listening so right now. I love you, Paul. I want to kiss your bald head.
I love you, Paul. Paul saved my life.
You saved all our lives.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Paul.
Paul, I have a funny question about... A funny situation about Paul. When I first signed to him, it was very... very weird situation. And I was left in an awkward situation. But Sean, Dr. P, said, well, now you signed to Circus, you have an agent. And Paul is your agent. And it wasn't like a whole physical process. He went, can you email Crafty? So I was like, okay. And I was like, hi, Paul. Apparently you're my agent now. Regards, James. And they laughed at me. But I'm like, what was I supposed to do in that situation? You just gave me a man, you know? And then Paul, yeah. But Paul actually, I was playing at an event in Birmingham. And the promoter was some alcoholic guy. And he was paying me in cash. And it was down like 50 quid or something. Like, I was being paid like 200 quid or something. It was so low.
Yeah.
And like he put like 150 or 155 in the envelope. He gave me the envelope and walked off. I checked it and I went, oh, and I pulled him and I said, this is not what we agreed. And he took a swing at me to try and hit me.
Oh my God.
After I said, oh no, sorry. What happened was I pulled him back and he went, what? And I said, this isn't the right amount. And he patted me on the shoulder and winked at me and went, this is what you're getting. And he turned around and then I grabbed his shoulder and then he took a swing at me. So, and then I told Paul about this and he went mental. And I'm thinking, if Paul was there, what a glorious moment that would have been just for that guy to see a big, towering, soft, cuddly teddy bear going, why is my? Not knowing that he's literally the softest man in history.
Yeah.
Seriously, that would have been a great moment. I wish he was there, but that was when he just signed. Yeah. I mean, dude, I've had so many situations, but yeah, that's one of the most standout for me because that's when I just signed to Paul. And I called Paul to tell him about it. He was like, oh, raging. Known him for about a month and he was already raging, so that goes to tell you about how caring and lovely the bold soft bastard is.
Wow.
Yeah, mental.
I can't believe that.
2010 was a great year. That was a Custer Factory in Birmingham for I forget the name of it. That guy actually did hit me up like 3 years later, apologized to my Facebook Messenger. It's like,
oh, really?
I'm so sorry, dude, I was an alcoholic and I'm off it now, but I thought about that situation and I'm sorry. I didn't respond because I was still a bit of a chip on the shoulder about that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, 50 quid, yeah. Come on, you earned a lot of money. It was when dubstep was earning you easy money and you were paying nothing to these dubstep artists. So, you know,
but
it was
it's
a cash
nice
grab.
That he did apologise.
Yeah. Actually, you know what's weird as well? During Corona, I had a kid I went to school with punched me in the mouth because he was dared to, basically, and it split my lip open. And he sent me a message. He split my lip open when I was 14, right? And he sent me a message over Corona 21 years later. It was like, I haven't stopped thinking about it. And I'm so sorry. I just want to apologise. And I'm like, have you spent all this time? But I think it was.
Wow.
I think it was. I think it was sitting indoors with Corona, left him with his thoughts. You know, and it probably just got overwhelming to the point like I have to message him. I need to tell him I'm sorry. Like, I'm like, dude, this is like 16 years ago. What are you talking about? But yeah, it's, yeah. So no, 20. Wait, so 20, 21 years ago he did that, and he hit me up over
that's
Corona.
Nice,
yeah, it's great. I had no problem with him, but it's just school, isn't it? It's egging on your mates. Go on, smack him. You know, that sort of stuff. It's just all the crap. But yeah, it's just to think that someone that's still ingrained. People don't realize how much school is ingrained in your mind. You know, you can literally have the worst experience at school, and then still be thinking about it when you're 70. Just be like, oh, I hate that Greg. He was such an arsehole to me. I hate him. You know, and it's like he's probably the nicest man in history right now. He'd probably give you. You know, all the love you need and apologize to you a million times over, but in your head, because it's just like, oh, he's a fucking arsehole.
Yeah.
We don't realize how much school affects you. So if you're a young man in school right now and you're a bully, stop being a fucking idiot. You'll hate yourself later in life. Thank you.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Not hopefully they'll hate themselves, but hopefully they'll see the error of their ways.
Yes, is the point. Not hopefully you'll hate yourself. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, what time are you going to start twitching in a minute?
Twitch in an hour and a half, so I need to get some food down me, and I do need to pee as well, because I'm full of much coffee today. Full of coffee.
Does it fuck you up working? Well, suppose you're used to working late, aren't you, because you're a fucking DJ.
So
of course you're used to it.
The reason I stream so late, not only is for the American market, but if I go to bed at regular, normal UK times, I then fly to America, which is hours ahead, And I'm already passed out before I even go on stage. So I need to make sure I'm in a later sleeping pattern. So I don't just fucking cobble over on stage. Just fall asleep, you know? So I have to, it kind of works on every level for me, what I'm doing to be awake later. So I mean, it sounds ridiculous to you because you're a mother, but sometimes I'm asleep at 9 a.m. Sometimes, you know, like just because my sleep patterns are so late. And when I finish streaming, I still keep myself awake because I want to be awake as late as possible for when I go to America. So I'm not, you know, eating over on stage. So sometimes I go to bed when you've been awake for 2 hours probably or something. You know?
How does that work with your girlfriend? Does she come on tour with you?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but she is self-employed. She's got her own wig company called Hazel Wigs. And she started that during Corona, and she's been killing it, actually. She's been really, she paid for me over Corona. I'm not joking. she paid for me over Corona, which is great. So she's got an amazingly well successful small business now. But she used to have a regular sleeping pattern, but she started doing a later sleeping pattern so that she didn't just wake up hours before I woke up and then go to sleep and I'd be, and so we have more time together.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's good that she can do that.
So she can sleep later now. She does that sort of stuff. So while I'm streaming, she goes upstairs and just starts cutting wigs and stuff. She does like custom wigs and that sort of stuff. And then she comes to America with me as well. So yeah, it's good stuff.
I'll have to get her on to talk about that.
Oh my God, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Life of a Dutch lady who moved to the UK to get away from Holland, who then didn't know what to do with herself, went to uni, ended up not carrying on with the uni she finished after 5 years of uni work, and then doing wigs out of the blue after Corona. There you go. That would be a whole story for you.
Yeah. I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
You're playing Rampage in July.
Playing open air in July, yeah. I played the big boy Rampage in last month, wasn't it? It's like a couple of weeks ago or something. Yeah. But it came down.
I'm coming in July, I think.
Are you? Yes. I think Emma might be too. So maybe you can schedule.
Brilliant.
You can schedule a podcast with Emma as well there.
Oh, we can hang out.
I'll get you on stage. We'll do it back to back. Get your mask on. What would you call you? Okay, would you call you, if you were DJing now, would you call yourself what you used to be called?
Or DJ, I sang.
Okay, so would you, if you started DJing, what would you call yourself?
If I started DJing, oh my God.
Bamy Allman, if you want to do the funk case one.
That is true. I don't know. Probably just DJ Amy. That'd be really fun, wouldn't it? But.
You could be like A.M.Y. And it would be like the abbreviation for like a mad youth or something like that. Like, you know, something cool.
Yes.
It would be Amy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you start doing DJing and you kill it, I want 10%. I'm telling you. By the way, if you want a good agent, I know a guy. Paul's like, that's me.
Yeah. I would be a good DJ. Everyone thinks they'd be a good DJ, though.
Yeah, of course.
But that's because I just play what I want to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't want to be playing what other people want to.
Are you still singing?
Yeah. Around the house. I don't make music anymore.
Why not?
I would. It's just the time and the opportunity. I would. Zed Bias hit me up a little while ago, actually, because I did a track with him once. And he was like, oh, I'm building a studio. Like, you should come up when it's done. And I was like, I'd love to. But then? I didn't.
Is that
message him actually?
Is that a case of life, or is that a case of I didn't get round to it, or is that a case of happens when it happens?
Well, I think that was before Corona actually, because I'm thinking it was only a little while ago, but it probably wasn't a little while ago.
Last 2 years didn't happen. It literally didn't happen in my mind. I'm still 33.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what it feels like. Whenever I talk about 2019, I literally say like 2 years ago. And it wasn't 2 years ago. It was way longer than 2 years. It was like 3 years ago, nearly four now. Like, so when I say like about 2019, I'm like last year or the year before. In my mind, like last 2 years didn't happen.
Yeah. It's weird. When I think about it, that's weird. Because they didn't happen.
It just didn't. It was just a thing.
Yeah.
Just forced upon us to sit indoors for ages.
But when are you... So you're back out... Every other month,
I'm back out for which you'll deal with the receipts for. Obviously, I'm playing Paris next week.
Playing Paris next Friday, yes.
And then I go to America on the 5th of May, and I'm back on the 15th, and then I go back out again. Sorry, no, until the 22nd. That's when I play EDC Vegas and a bunch of shows, and then I come back 2 weeks later. I'm back out for America, and then that is a 1 month stint. And then I'm back for Hungary, which you'll deal with. Rampage Open Air, which you'll deal with. And then Eindhoven, which you'll deal with. And then some other place, which you'll deal with, and then another place, which you'll deal with. So you've got a few things to do. Yeah, we're going to be working together a little bit. Yeah, there you go.
I've got some work to do.
You'll be seeing my million-pound statements.
Yeah.
Anyone want a house? I'll just buy a house. Fuck it. I'm just overpaid, mate. Overpaid DJ.
Or you could find me a rich DJ.
I can help you with that, yeah. Are you looking for a young man, or are you looking for an old man? Are you looking for
youthful
40? Are you looking for a man who's 12 but has the mind of an 80-year-old? You know, it's like, what kind of person do you want? You know,
I don't want any. I really fancy Kano at the moment, actually.
I don't have a contact for Kano. You can speak. I could get you towards Jammer.
I know. Oh my god.
I know all them lot.
Jammer but... for however fucking long, right. And his sister.
Yeah.
Is the mother of a boy in my Lola's class, who I've known for ages. I didn't know she was his sister until she's just become a QC. And I think she's the 7th or the 9th black woman in history in the UK to become a QC. And he posted a picture of her, and I was like, wait a minute.
That's that woman from the school run.
I know her. Yeah. And I messaged her, and I was like, is this you? Yeah, so that I need to get her on the podcast, actually. But yeah,
Jesus.
So I know people that know him, but I need to, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, I'm not fussy. I just need.
I can't help you, Kano, I'm afraid. Yeah, I mean, my mum wants me to try and hook her up with Keanu Reeves, but I'm kind of trying to tell her when I'm in Hollywood, it doesn't mean I'm part of Hollywood. You know, like it's different. So yeah.
He's a bit old now.
Yeah, my mum's like 55. She was 19 when she had me. I'm about 55.
Yeah, she's still so young. My sister's 55. Wow.
Oh, you're the young'un. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was a surprise.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Yeah, 55. Yeah, well, I mean, she's older than he is, so it depends. Or is it, wait, how old is Keanu Reeves?
No, he's got
I need to look this up.
A bit.
Okay, I will look this up. I'm on my computer. Give me an age and we'll see how close you get.
I reckon Keanu Reeves is...
Is he that old?
He's got to be getting on for 60. Bill and Ted.
Is he that old? No way.
I'm going to say I was 6. I reckon he's got to be, getting on for 60.
He was born in Lebanon, first of all, in Beirut. That's a fun fact.
I didn't know that.
Born September the 2nd, 1964. So he's only 2 years older than my mum. I thought he was younger. 6'1". Jesus.
Yeah.
He was... Oh, Keanu Charles Reeves, whose first name means cool breeze over the mountains in Hawaiian. There you go. That's a fun fact for you.
That's a nice name.
There you go. That's why I don't know any other Keanus. Makes sense. There you go.
Right. I'm going to let you go and work on finding me a rich DJ.
Yeah, I'll do my
boyfriend.
Best. If I don't find you anyone, will Jeff, who brings in 8 people down the road in the local, help? Or has he got you rich? It's not going to help your quest for a house.
Actually, it hasn't got to be rich. He's just got to have a job. I just need a second income.
Oh, bloody, I can't help you.
Basically.
Yeah. You do know Corona does happen, right?
That's too much.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot.
Or someone that works for the electric company, maybe.
Yeah, save you on a few bills, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I'm not fussy.
Or a chef. It's always good to have a chef boyfriend.
Yeah, chef. Some but meals. Then they work bad hours.
Yeah, it depends though. If they're self-employed and they can cook for you and you get free time, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Let's open your options up a little bit. You know, Kano is one option, or Jeff from the localer.
Yeah, I'm easy.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go, boys. She's physically said
there you
it.
Go.
So yep.
And on that bombshell, thank you so much for talking to me.
It's been emotional. Let's get Paul in next time. We'll have a lovely little chin wag.
Yes. Stay there, because I need to ask you for things.
Oh, God.
Not drugs.
Oh, I mean, I don't. I've never taken a drug in my entire life, fun fact.
Haven't you really?
I've never tried a cigarette. I've never tried a single drug. Nothing.
Seriously,
yeah. Never. And obviously, growing up around my friends who all smoke weed and have done white things.
Whatever.
Whatever you're talking about. Yeah, never done a single drug.
Why? Did you just never fancy it?
Never cared about it. It's nothing to do with being put off or nothing to do with being surrounded by it. I just don't care for it, to be honest. So yeah,
fair enough.
Well, it is, yeah. And I don't really drink anymore either. I drink on special occasions.
So. I don't drink anymore.
Yeah, just don't really give a shit about it. Don't really care about being drunk. Drunk's fun when you're around special occasions like weddings and birthdays. That's when I drink. Yeah. That's it. But I'm an all in or nothing person. I'm not a one beer football guy. I'm like, here, give me 8 shots.
Yeah.
A bunch of Jager bombs or whatever, you know, like, or a nice cider.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't do it anymore. So, and I don't get drunk at shows because I'd rather be professional. Anyway, you can end your podcast. Otherwise, this will go into a whole thing again. But yes.
Thank you very much.
It's been emotional.
Yeah, it's been emotional. Oh, my TV just... Okay, bye. Hi. Yeah, so that was the lovely Funke. So I've post links to him if you want to check him out and look on his Twitch and stuff. I still don't really understand what Twitch is. Scrooby as Pip started doing Twitch. And I do need to go on and actually look and see what he's doing because I just don't understand it. But, so make sure you check Pip out as well if you do venture onto Twitch. Oh, I had a funny conversation with, because I feel that I need to reach more people with my podcast and let people know about it. So I was thinking, oh, everyone's on TikTok now, aren't they? So I was talking to my 11-year-old daughter about how I could have a presence on TikTok. And we had a conversation for quite a while, actually, and she was like, people watch videos with animals in doing things, or they have videos of them opening stuff, like products, or like doing makeup or cooking. So we were saying that basically I'd have to be doing something, because they're not just going to watch me talking. I have to be doing something that people are interested in watching and then promote my podcast somehow as well. So we were thinking, I'm not that person. Nikki, who I do the Epic Mum Chat with, she's on TikTok and she's fucking hilarious, but I don't know how she comes up with the ideas of things that she's going to do. That's not me. I just want to talk to people. So we were kind of talking about things. I was like, oh, I could film the cat, but then all he does is sleep and eat. So he's not that exciting. He is very cute though. But yeah, we were chatting and then she was like, Mum, your audience isn't on TikTok. You're not going to reach... The people that are watching TikTok videos aren't really probably going to want to listen to your podcast because it's people of my age. And I was like, that's a really good point. Like, obviously, older people do watch TikTok. And I do feel that my podcast offers something not just for women in their 40s and mums. Like, I've got male friends in their 20s and 30s that have listened to it and they really enjoy it because there are different things I talk about. But essentially, I would imagine that the people that are using TikTok might not be my target audience. So, yeah, it just made me laugh. But I was just like, God, you're really insightful, actually, for 11, because I don't know if I would have thought of that when I was your age. Anyway, that's enough of me babbling on. Mum and Mama podcast on all the socials. I've got loads of other wonderful chats with people, so please check out my other stuff. Subscribe, share, check out the Epic Mum Chat on YouTube. We've been really bad and not posted any videos for ages, but that's because we're both single working parents and social media is fucking hard work. Also, if anyone wants to work for me for free or can help me out with marketing, get in touch. You know I love you. Anyway, big love to you all. Stay safe, stay sane, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.